Hello, everyone. This is Prophetess Crystal, and welcome, welcome, welcome to our very first podcast broadcast for the Gems with Dreams Women's Ministry and Sisterhood. I'm so excited on tonight because I have a very special guest, which she will be introduced very shortly. But just a little bit about what we're going to be talking about on tonight. We're going to be talking about so many things, and she has a powerful testimony. The Gems with Dreams broadcast is a broadcast that has been something that's been put in my spirit for such a long time. And so I wanted to share, you know, the journeys of other women, the testimonies of other women and things that they've gone through, things that God has allowed them to go through and how they've come out on the other side. We'll be sharing with, you know, moms, wives, mothers, sisters, all from all walks of life, because why we know that God, he takes something and makes something beautiful out of us. He takes something that, you know, or experiences that we've been through, and he makes something beautiful out of it. And so along with every year, we have our Beauty in Chrysalis conference, which is a women's conference that the Lord birthed through me. And we just had a phenomenal time last year, actually. And so we're going to bring it back, her back, the Beauty in Chrysalis. And we're just going to, you know, pray and worship before the Lord there at that conference. But tonight is the Gems and podcast. And what we're going to be talking about is loving who God created you to be. But first, I would love for you to go ahead and like our page on Facebook and on Instagram, which is the Gems with Dreams page. So you can stay up to date with all of our events that's going to be coming, our in-person events that's going to be coming up. We are a women's ministry and sisterhood. So what does that mean? That means that we're going to be meeting. We're going to be having really fun, some fun events. We're going to be reading our word together. We're going to be doing so many things together. And so that we can gather with our sisters and lean on one another and just be there for one another. And also to show each other, right, that we have each other's back as sisters. I was just on speaking on a conference yesterday and was talking about how, you know, we see a lot in the society where women can be catty and they can be not like each other. Well, for the Gems with Dreams, that our aim is for us to come together as women and to just be there for each other as sisters should, the biblical way. And so I'm so excited this evening. I see some of you here on Zoom, and we were going to admit you very soon. I just want to go through a little bit more about our guest, our very special guest tonight. And so tonight I found also that women, they compare themselves to others. They look at others, you know, someone else's journey and compare themselves to that person. Maybe someone is married and you're not, or maybe you're trying to fit in and, you know, into this box and you shouldn't be, right? Because you need to love who God created you to be. Or maybe there's something that you secretly don't like about yourself, right? So we're going to talk about that tonight with our special guest, Sharina. We're going to be talking about that tonight with our special guest, Sharina George. And I'm going to read a little bit about her on tonight. And so Sharina is a realtor. She is passionate about serving clients with professionalism, personalized attention, and enthusiasm. And presently, Sharina is an associate with EXP Realty, and she believes that buying and selling property requires a team effort. Not only is she a realtor, she was a marketing director for 8 years, and she has learned to balance her clients' needs. So she's very versatile in business. She's very versatile in office administration and academic construction and several marketing environments. Sharina not only is in business, but she's also in ministry. She was a pastor. She was a pastor's wife. She has written some books, and she'll tell you all about that. Sharina also has been married for 21 years to her best friend and her husband, Greg. Sharina's work is influenced by her sincere love for God and is an effective real estate agent, because she's his first agent. Please welcome, let's welcome Sharina George to the Gems in Podcast. How are you doing, Sharina?
I'm doing great. It is so great to see everyone, you know, to hear from everyone on tonight. I'm looking forward to just having a great conversation with you, Prophetess.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Anything you want us to know, any books that you've written? I want to know. Let your audience know. Let our audience know all about you.
Yes, you guys. So, Prophetess did an amazing job at, giving a little bit of what God has already done in my life. I am author of Destiny by Design, my first book, and then Broken by Design. Just kind of outlines my life and where God found me and how He prepared me for many years for ministry. Really outlines that. I'm actually in the process of getting the books in ebook format to be able to kind of relaunch those. I was looking through the books. I was a bit younger when I wrote them. Did a little bit of editing, and I'm actually relaunching both the books. Book number three is called Blessed by Design. So just really believe that God has so orchestrated our lives, and I process in that graphic design terminology. And so by design, God has orchestrated our lives. And so I'm excited about those books, you guys. I'm here in Florida helping individuals to buy and sell real estate. I find so much enjoyment in being able to help people to accomplish that dream of ownership, and just really being able to be a blessing to people all around. If I can wake up that day and be a blessing to 5 to 10 people, I've fulfilled my purpose for that day, as I really take it one day at a time, Crystal.
Absolutely. I love, love, love that. And so let's just dive right on in. And we're going to be talking about loving who God created you to be. And I loved Sharina's testimony, and she's going to tell you more about that. And I believe, like I said, that God brings us through stages in life to where we are now. So she's going to be sharing with us with that. And the first question, Sharina, is tell me, how does one love who God created them to be?
Very, very, very amazing question. I think the how they come to learn to love who God created them to be, I think, is by taking almost an outside introspect, which can be difficult, especially when you've been crushed, when you've gone through painful situations, people really saying, you're nothing. No one will listen to you, really spewing negative comments and causing you to kind of have a lowered view of self can be very difficult to love whom God created you to be, because at that time, you don't really love yourself. So you definitely can't take the steps to learn who He called you to be. So I think it's about really going back to the manufacturer's guidelines. When you look at the stove, you look at the refrigerator, and you find that something is broken. Something's broken in the stove, something's broken in the fridge. I think I had to come to the realization that something about me, not about what God created, but about my process and what I have been through, caused me to be in a broken place. And I had to recognize first, Sharina, you're broken. The only way that you can be whole and the only way that you can love others and self the way that God called you to is to really take a look at where you're broken and give that brokenness to the Father. When we have our stoves and our fridges, Prophetess, we call the one who knows about the product to come in. They turn the stove around and they do all these things. Next thing you know, it's working the way that it was intended to. And so a lot of times when you're broken, you can't work in the way the manufacturer intended for you to work because you're broken. And so I think in order to love oneself, I think it's recognizing that brokenness and really giving that brokenness, becoming really surrendered to the one who's able to fix it, because in that brokenness is difficult to really experience authentic love. So if you can really experience authentic love, how can you give authentic love? So I think it's really being able to identify, that we're broken, that we're nothing without God, and really being able to surrender that over. It can be difficult, but all things are possible, with Christ. So that was how I first started learning how to love myself, was to understand that I was broken in need of a fixer, and that fixer was God.
Wow, I love, love, love that. And what I heard you say in the beginning was that you needed to recognize those people who were saying things that were negative to you. And so I think that's so important. If you're listening Facebook, it's so important, like Sharina's saying, to see who's around you, who's causing, can be contributing to your brokenness, right? It's one thing to be broken, but then there's another thing to also have other broken people that are around you contributing to your brokenness until you get into a place of healing, right? And so, and then Sharina talked about being, you know, from the manufacturer and going back to him to fix her. And that is so true. And how we have to take it back to square one, where we are looking at, okay, God, I know how you created me to be. I know that you made me perfect in your image. And I need to love who you've made me. Even if others don't love it, even if others don't like it, even if others don't, you know, care for it, I need to then put myself around people who will celebrate me, who will love me, and also help me in my process of healing as well. And so let's talk about this question number two. What caused you to be depressed in life, and how did you overcome that? A lot of people go through silent depression. They go through secret depression. They go through, and that could be anybody, right? Because life is just, it could be a roller coaster. You know, one minute you're on a high, one next minute there's a low. But there's, of course, several forms of depression. But tell us how you dealt with that and what you did to overcome it.
Yes, depression for me, my self-value and my self-worth in my own eyes was, I mean, I think non-existent. I won't even give it a value, prophetess. It was just not there. And I think it was a result of the compounding painful things that I went through from 9 to 12. I had went through sexual abuse in my home. At the age of 12, at the age of 13, I was pregnant with my first daughter. You know, a person took advantage of me, didn't quite know what to do with that, with the law and all of that. I had the baby at 14.
Wow.
At 14, I was taken into foster care. Mm-hmm. I was then abducted at gunpoint at the age of 15, and I was sexually assaulted in an alley. And with everything from 9 to 14 happening in such a short period of time, all the pain compounded, and I began to intrinsically have this view of myself, oh, I'm worthless. Oh, men just want me for my body. Oh, there's no reason why I should exist. And so through that depression, you know, really going from stage to stage, I actually tried to commit suicide 3 times.
Wow.
So through all of that depression for me, I mean, it was like a heavy, thick blanket. And I could not see myself doing anything of value. I could not see myself being meaningful to humanity. So unfortunately, I thought, let me take the life that God has given, this precious once opportunity. I wanted to take it, which showed you how much I devalued myself. And through my process, of course, I had to be delivered from people's opinions. Mm-hmm. But at that time, people's opinions were my opinion. Because when they said it, it was very easy for me to receive it because I was open. When you're depressed like that, you're looking for any and everybody to say something to you. Mm-hmm. But when they're saying the negative things, they get through just like the positive, right? Mm-hmm. They're saying, you know, no one will listen to you. No one will ever love you. No one will ever marry you. No one will. And mm-hmm. I decided, you know, this life is not for me. And I remembered my mom, my natural mom, took me to church when I was younger, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to about 8, 9 years old. I remember going to church, and I remember my mom talking about this man named Jesus. Mm-hmm. And at the time that I was at the age of 15, when I prayed that prayer after my third suicide attempt, mm-hmm. I said, God, you know, I don't know if you're real, because mm-hmm. if you are real, why would you let me go through what I've gone through? I don't understand the plan and the strategy for this. You know, how could one person go through this year after year after year, just going through? I'm supposed to be focused on school and education and doing reports and homework, you know, and I was going through so much pain. And I said, well, Jesus, if you exist and if you're real, I called him the unknown God. Yeah. You'll deliver me. You'll do something about my situation. And in that prayer, you guys, within minutes of me praying that prayer, my social worker screamed my name at the bottom of the steps, took me from that home within 5 minutes of praying that prayer, took me to my foster mom, who was a Christian woman, who took me to church. And the water of the word Sunday and Thursday and Sunday morning and Sunday night was washing over me. And God was giving me a different view of who he created me to be. They were saying you were fearfully and wonderfully made. And the words of the person in the pulpit like really struck my ears because they had said something to me that I have never heard. I heard all these degrading things, you know, men want me for my body. And, you know, I'm pregnant and I have this baby and a teen mom. They had a bet out in my family that I'd have another child in my teens because I had the first bet in my family.
Wow.
That depressive view, prophetess, the only way that I could change the dynamic of the way I saw myself was to see it through a different lens. You know how you put on glasses and there's an image taped to the inside of the glasses?
Yeah.
God has put me on some God Google, some God glasses. He put some God glasses on me through the word to show me that no, Sharina, you've got it twisted. You've gone through all that you've gone through because I broke you. I allowed you to be broken in such a way that your ministry is going to impact more people because one piece of cracker whole can feed one person. But if it's broken and if it's crushed and if it's broken and if it's crushed, it's going to feed more people. So you're going to be able to relate. You're going to have compassion for people. You're going to, you know, really be able to see people, not just hear their names, not just see their accolades, but I'm the type of person that when you're in my presence, I've been broken in such a way that I see you, I sense, you know, you could be top producer in real estate, but you're going through so much that God just leads me to pray for you, you know, that God just leads me to just send a word of encouragement, not from a Christian perspective, because I don't push, you know, religion on anybody, but he may just lead me to send the encouragement to you. So that depression really caused me to be broken in such a way that I feel I'm able to minister to that many more people.
My goodness, that is amazing. And what I heard you say was that there's no steps, you know, you didn't take a step-by-step approach like, oh, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do. You literally cried out to God. You got into church. Did you hear that, Facebook? Did you hear that, Instagram? She went to church and she knew that her answer was through Christ. That was her answer for everything she was going through. She sat under the word of God and she allowed God's word to pour into her so that she can get healing. And sometimes that is our missing element. We think that we can run to this or run to that, you know, or run to, you know, a bottle or run to pills or run to whatever. And the simple answer could be that you need to be in the presence of God. You need to be under the anointing. God's healing power. God can heal anything. His healing power, he can heal you, especially, right? And I know that's a lot of a controversial there sometimes too, but sometimes some things are spiritual and sometimes there's, you know, there's naturals. There are some people who do need to take medication because they, you know, are depressed and they are suicidal, all those things. But then sometimes it is a spiritual issue. And what I'm hearing Sharina say, a lot of it was a spiritual issue. And sometimes when it's a spiritual issue, we have to whip out that word. We have to, you know, do some spiritual warfare. We need a pastor that's going to help us to guide us through how to win the battle spiritually. And so let's go to question number three. How did you become confident in you?
My. I think I dared to believe God. I came broken. 15, 16 years old, I told my foster mom, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to give my life to him and I want to see what he can do with this clay, right?
Yes.
Can he put treasure in this earthen vessel? I felt so unworthy to carry God's glory that every day, even though I've been in Christ for 24 years now, every day of my life, prophetess, I counted an honor, a privilege, and a blessing to be able to carry the glory of God with me.
Yes.
Not at church, but in the workplace, in the gas station, at the mall, wherever I am just so incredibly honored to carry his glory. And I had to get a visual of who he created me to be. You know how people have vision boards?
Yes.
I needed internal vision board. I needed to be intrinsically motivated and encouraged and empowered about who I was.
Yes.
And I was looking for everyone else to tell me who I was, but it wasn't going to come that way. Mm-mm. It came through prayer. So prophetess, I came in, I made Jesus the Lord over my life, and boy, oh boy, did the enemy not like it. Seemed like I went through so much when I decided to say yes to Christ. But listen, I'd rather suffer with Christ than yes. without him. I'd rather suffer with him than Amen. Without him. So I came in, prophetess, and I was immediately drawn to the altar, and I began to pray. Mm-hmm. I began to become a woman of prayer, a woman of fasting for about 10 years, from year one to about year 10. It was so much thick, intense prayer. I would go physically to the church many times and pray for an hour. And then sometimes I pray at the house. I talk to my husband. I was constantly on 3-day fast. I was on 1-day fast. I was on 7-day fast. Eventually I went on a 40-day fast, but I knew that there was a lot of me that I needed to get out the way in order to really fulfill the mission of Christ. But when I would be down there praying, prophetess, God would show me talking in front of people.
Wow. And
immediately shake it off like, no, that's not me. I would be too nervous to talk in front of people. You know, I'm not an eloquent woman that knows big words. You know? I felt like I knew the 5, 6, 7 character words.
Yeah.
Like, no one would listen to me. And every time, at least once a week, prophetess, God would show me an image of me speaking in front of people, just tons of people. Sometimes I couldn't see their faces. It would just be crowds of people.
Yes.
My God, you know, I really do like trust you. I'm learning to know you, but I think you got your coordinates off. I don't, you know, I think you've mixed up the vision and you made a mistake and gave it to this person. And it was supposed to be for her down there on the altar, like three people down. And sure enough, prophetess, year after year, God began to show me, you're going to be a blessing to people. You're going to be speaking to people. I'm going to use your voice. And I would literally write down words of encouragement and give them to people, and it would change their life. But God says, you're writing now, but you're going to speak. You're going to talk. You're going to open your mouth and you're going to speak. And one day, maybe 6, 7 years into praying, I believed him.
Wow.
I believed God. I was like, I am literally about to fall out this airplane without a chute. I don't know if people are going to throw something at me. I don't know if they're going to, you know. So when I spoke for the first time and people stood up and clapped, I was like, I was just like, what in the world is happening here? And then I've spoke for, you know, good 8 years now. But to see God give me vision of me, I think that's where confidence, I was able to confide. The root word of confidence is confide. I was able to confide all my insecurities into God. Because when I would tell people, prophetess, my insecurities, they would, you know, oh, you have a reason. You know, they wouldn't really encourage me to get through them. They would just listen, you know, and try to encourage the best they could. But I confided all of my insecurities. Even today, if I'm going to speak or I'm going to do something that I feel is beyond what I'm able to do, I confide in God in the car. I'm like, I'm headed here. I'm headed to this $1 million home, and I will go there early so I can look at the cabinets and look at the floors and look at, I'm not confident, but God, I pray that you would help me in my confidence, you know, with talking to this person who's going to be there, the walkthrough. So I confided in God, and that's where my confidence was born.
I love, love, love that. And I heard you say, and I like to say, I heard you say that basically God was waiting for you to catch up to what he already said you were, who you already said you were. And so many times God will, you know, allow us to go through and allow us to go through. I'm just waiting on you to see, to know who you are, who I've called you to be. And we sit sometimes when we, you know, look at what people are saying and we have a lack of confidence. I was at that place at a time in my life as well, where you have a lack of confidence. Are you looking at what people are saying, or you think they're saying things, and sometimes they're not even saying anything. It all boils down to us, right? God is working on our internal where we have to have the confidence that he gave us, right? We should be confident in Christ. And so I heard you say that God is the one now who gives you the confidence. He's the one now where you go, you're going wherever you go, you're saying, God, I need you to step in here. That's what I do. I'm like, hey, you're going to have to do this because, you know, this is who I'm about to talk in front of, or this is, you know, who I'm about to meet. And so God will give you that confidence. If you're listening, Facebook, he will give you the confidence to do whatever you need to do. Don't shrink back because of your own fears or your own limitations. So let's go on to question number four. Where are you now in your life? Where do you think you are now in your life? Tell us from everything you just talked about up until this point, where are you?
Right now, I feel like I'm in the season of release. And what that means is, for anybody who knows anything about gardening, a lot of times in order to get more from the garden, you must prune it. You must pull it back, cut the leaves back, cut the stems back, to the point where when others see it, sometimes they misdiagnose it as dead. You know, they misdiagnose it as somebody did something wrong because it doesn't look fruitful. Yeah. Or you take the arrow and you really pull it back and you think you can't pull it back any further, yet you pull it back some more. I feel like God has pulled me back to the place where it is finally time to release me. Wow. Because I feel like he's been building this awesome, in the spirit realm, this awesome weapon that's going to be released into the camp of the enemy to explode God's power. Yes. And his healing and his, I mean, he's been doing some things in me. Like, God will allow you to be broken to experience one level of ministry. Mm-hmm. And God will break you again to create the next level of ministry. And I just remember that God has called me to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I remember being inside of a Payless shoe store and the associate saying, hey, my arm is hurting. Can I pray for you? Do you believe in the power of God? Praying for them, a person with tumors, a person with 34 years of headache. I said, if you allow me to pray for you, God will heal you by his power. And he reminded me the other day when my son wasn't feeling too well, he was like, Mom, you know, I'm hot. I touched him. I got a fever. I'm coughing. Could you pray for me? And God brought it back full circle that I've pulled you back. You've been going through storms that no one knows that you've been going through, but I've been breaking you to release you to another level. And I've got to break you like this because you must understand that the glory belongs to me. You must be a glory deflector. So when people think that it's you that's healing, you'll be so broken. You'll remind them that it's me that's doing the healing. So I prayed for him. And he said, Mom, while you was praying, I literally felt from my head all the way through my body healing take place. He didn't cough anymore. He was not sick. And I said, I've been commanded and commissioned by God to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, to speak so much life into something that is dead that it walks the same day. That what was dead becomes alive in the same day. And so when you carry that on your life, prophetess, I feel like God is about to release me in such a way that my eyes have not seen and my ears have not heard, but by the Spirit, God is doing something so great. So I feel like I'm on the verge of this massive release.
My gosh. Wow. 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 I felt that. And I heard you say that God had to break you several times for you to get to this place. And now you feel like this is your season of release. This is your season to be launched forward. This is your season to take off. And God will take us through that journey. And I was on a conference yesterday where I talked about at the end, you know, my testimony and some things God allowed me to go through with pregnancies. And at long story short, the Lord told me, which it was around the same lines of what you told you, the Lord told me he was making a warrior out of me. And so in order to make a warrior, you know, you have to go through some challenges. You have to go through some battles, right? So that now when you are at that place and where God wants you to be, those things come again, but that doesn't faze you anymore. Those things can come, but you've already crossed those hurdles and those battles. And so Facebook, if you're listening, what Sharina just said was, God had to take her through a series of things in her life to where she is now, for who the woman she is called to be today. And now God has her flowing in healing, flowing in the anointing. She will also flow in prophecy as well. I just want to release that to you, Sharina, that God says you're also going to flow in prophecy, and that God is going to, you're literally going to hear the word of the Lord when you're praying for people, because God says that's the time we're in right now. God says his sons and daughters are going to prophesy. And so God has to take you through a series of tests, through a series of trials, so that you are fit to be used by him. And so when you get to where you need to be, you won't bleed on others. When you get where you need to be, he knows that you know how to treat people, how to handle people. You have compassion on people. You know what they've gone through, because you may have been through that same exact thing. And so God will cause us to go through the things, and we don't understand it at the moment, but it's for someone else. Amen. So Sharina, let's go to the next question. How long did it take for you to find your purpose?
Wow. I think it's been 24 years. I think it took at least 12 years for me.
Wow.
I call myself a slow burner, you know, instead of a slow learner. A slow burner. I've had to kind of simmer on the altar to get out my own way, because you would think, with everything that I went through in my youth, you would think that would create a level of humility, but it didn't. I was very prideful. I thought, you know, somewhat of that. I was a bit petite, and people said I was cute, and I was thinking a little bit of the world revolving around me. And God told me to humble myself. And again, I could confide in the one who made me. And I said, well, humble myself. What in the world does the word humble mean? That's a book. But to fast forward it, he taught me what the word humble was. It was not a look. Mm-hmm. It wasn't you spending a little bit of money on your clothes, or wearing holy clothes, or, you know, looking somber, or, you know, like you don't have any makeup on. Humility had nothing to do with the way that I looked. Humility had to do with the status of my heart.
Yes.
And how I became grateful for every breath, mm-hmm. for the movement of my limbs. I give honor to God today, because this is the day that the Lord has made.
Yes.
So I need to simply rejoice and be glad in it. And for the past 2 years, God, I've been waking up thankful. No matter what happened. About a couple of weeks ago, we were headed to worship. My car engine went out. God said, have peace. I'm about to do 50 open houses, and I'm about to do that. And my car engine goes out, mm-hmm. and God says, be in peace. And so finding my purpose, finding my reason why, finding who I was humbling myself to the one who was going to give me the orders and the instructions, because he wasn't going to give me the orders or the instructions if I did not humble myself, if I did not recognize that I had nothing to do with the life that I am living, but all glory and praise be to God. So I think about 12 years or so in, I really started to lay hands and begin to prophesy. As you said, that was a very, God had to again show me that he could give me the words to say to people, because you hear so many people telling people stuff that they want to tell them. Oh, I wanted to make sure that I told people what God said.
Yes.
And so that confidence in being able to prophesy, the confidence in being able to give people creative ideas. Sometimes God gives me an idea because I'm to hold the pregnancy, but I'm just a carrier of the baby, that this vision belongs to somebody else. So I had to trust God enough to get me pregnant, for lack of better words, but give the baby away.
Wow, I love that.
I'm the carrier of the blessing, and not necessarily the one to bring it out. And so my purpose is to bring forth vision into the earth, sometimes through other people, to lay hands on the sick, to be an encouragement and an empowerment to others. And a lot of times, prophetess, I don't know if you experience this as well, but in giving out so much words, I started to struggle with God. You know, I'm prophesying and I'm doing what you asked me to do, and I'm preaching the gospel. I pastor alongside my husband, and no one gives me a word. You know, I'm laying there. I'm like, I'm laying there on the couch. I'm going through a little bit.
Right. Yeah, where's my word? I've been there.
God even encouraged me in that. I got you, Sharina. For everything that you pour out, you've got to trust that there's so much pour in that I have prepared for you. And God said, I have some eagles. I have some eagles. You see, your vision is very far. Mm-hmm. And everyone that's around you, when they just see today and next week, mm-hmm. because of the way that you speak, Sharina, you speak so futuristic because of what you see, that a lot of people look at you like, all right, she's ahead of her time, or all right, she's rushing, all right. But God will send other eagles around you to be able to share in the vision that you see and be able to pour into you as you pour into them. So God has sent a couple amazing eaglets, you know, into my life for me to nurture, and then some more mature eagles to be able to carry and give me encouragement when needed. So finding my purpose, you know, about 12 or so years ago, and I've been walking in it with me against me. No, there's only one Sharina. I am not intimidated by anybody because there's only one of me.
That's right. There's only one of you. That's what I heard you say. Facebook, there's only one of you. Nobody can be like you. Nobody can do things like you do. God has only made you to be you. And so we have to walk in that, and knowing that I'm all that. I'm all that in a bag of chips. We used to say that back in the day, right? I'm all that in a bag of chips. I'm who God has created me to be. Nobody can be like me, right? Nobody can speak like me. Nobody can talk like me. And so once you get that and you accept that, it's all about the accepting in that. You will flow with that, and the gifts that God has given you will just flow because now you're doing what God has created you to do. Sharina, we have a few more questions. What is one word of advice that you would give a woman today that has insecurities or doesn't love who God has created her to be?
Wow. That is powerful. Insecure. Well, that the first word of insecure, you guys, let's break down that word a little bit. To secure something is to fasten it, or to, you know, to really prepare it, to get it ready to secure. You secure your belongings before a trip. And then that word in, for me, speaks of how I see myself. So I think when a person walks in insecurity, I don't think sometimes it's necessarily a result of what they can't do, right? Because there's so much that I cannot do. I think insecurity comes from God calling to you to do something that He's equipped you and secured you with, but you aren't able to fully walk in it because you haven't placed your full confidence in the secure one who gave you the gift. Sharina, make that plain to me. You just said all of that and it's not making sense. Well, God has given you a gift and He's giving you something to do.
Yeah.
And in your mind, when God calls you to do it or to say it, insecurity, you say, God, I can't do that. Sharina, I want you to go to Baltimore, Maryland. There's going to be a conference. I want you to go to it. I know you aren't a speaker on the checklist, but the prophet is going to call you up and I want you to speak my word. Mm-hmm. So insecurity says, I'm not able to, right? Because I don't feel that I'm able to. So God has given you a gift, but you thinking that you're not able causes insecurity. Of course we have insecurity, Crystal, with things that we're not called to do because we flat out can't do them. I can't do no hair. I can't do no nails.
Right.
I can't open up the television and work out all the electrical part. That's not me. I haven't been created to do that. But insecurity doesn't come in with things that we're not called to do. That's what it is. But with things that we're called to, it is the job and the assignment of our adversary to spew words of what you can't do, how you can't do it, how you're not qualified to do it, how God is calling someone else to do it when God is really calling you to do it. So guess what? My obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
And God's going to meet me at my obedience. So I need to get up, talk to my husband about what God told me, We get a flight. I show up in Baltimore, and this is hypothetical, you guys. This is not happening right now, but I go to Baltimore, you know, so they'll know not to meet me in Baltimore. But I go to Baltimore and I go to the conference. And when I go to the conference, my security is now in the one who told me to do it. So yes. Insecurity is really a lack of faith. It's really a lack of faith, because if I don't believe the one who told me, I'm not going to go. If you say, hey, Sharina, go to the bank in the morning, I got $1,000 for you. If I don't believe that you're capable of producing $1,000, I'm going to sleep over. I'm not going to the bank. But if I know that Crystal's good for her word, I'm not only going to arrive at the bank, but I'm going to arrive at the bank early.
Yeah.
So when people really shift the insecurity to a lack of faith, God has equipped you to do the assignment that's on your life, but you think it's too great. You think it's something that you can't do, and you're not fully secure in the one who gave the assignment. So I want to encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge the one who gave you the instruction, and he will lead the path. So I'll arrive at the Baltimore church with the example, and I'm dressed and I'm ready to go up to the front, though I'm not even on the flyer. I'm not on the Eventbrite ticket or nothing. I just believe God. And so I'm going to sit wherever I'm going to sit. I'm not going to sit in such a way where, oh, I got to sit so they can see me. No, I trust God.
That's it.
So I'm going to be in that service, and the prophet's going to walk down the aisle, however God got it set up. And they're going to say, you right there with the black shirt, and you right there with the suit jacket. God gave you a word. I need you to come up here and share it, because yeah. I believe God. So if you're struggling with insecurity out there, it's okay to consult in the one who's the lover of your soul and let him know about your insecurities. Help my unbelief, oh God. God, you called me to do A, B, C, D, but the insecurity is in my faith. I don't feel worthy enough. I don't feel adequate enough. God will meet you at your obedience.
Amen. I love that. God will meet you at your obedience. So all it takes from going from insecurity to trusting in the Lord and doing what he says is that obedience, doing what he says, no matter how you feel. Even if you feel insecure, you have to step out on faith. I love that, Sharina. Let's talk about our last question. Was there a difference in your relationships when you loved who God created you to be?
Yes, there was. There was a major difference. I think the major difference that I can think of is that there was a lot of comparison between me and another person. So let's say I met you, Prophetess, and let's say about 4 or 5 years into loving Christ, still trying to find out who I am. If I met you, Prophetess, where you are now, a very confident woman, if you came into my presence and I had an opportunity to talk with you, kind of be with you for a moment, your confidence would actually agitate my insecurity. And so instead of being able to enjoy the benefits of the woman of God that you are, I would now become an adversary to you because I feel threatened.
Wow.
I feel threatened. Why is she able to walk in this level of confidence? Mm-hmm. Why is she speaking like that? Like, you know, she got it all together. Why is she dressing so? Now that God has blessed me to really come to a certain place, mm-hmm. when a person acts out or shows what we call jealousy toward us, mm-hmm. I no longer look at that as an attack. I'm like, that particular woman has an internal struggle going on. And all of my activity, whether that be real estate, whether that be posting online or whatever it is that you're doing, I'm agitating something that's in them that wants to live. My life is an agitation to them. And there's nothing I can do about that, because I'm going to authentically live out the life that God has called me to be. Well, you know, she's been married for 22 years and I want to be married. And she posts and she... No. So what that person has to do is they have to have a one-on-one encounter with God that causes them to be able to see themselves as the beautiful woman, fearfully and wonderfully made, that God has called them to. So when a woman shows jealousy toward me, guess what, Crystal? I pray for them. I pray for them, because What need is there for the washer to be jealous of the dryer? They're two different pieces of equipment that have two different functions, though they're both electronic equipment. Why does the stove need to be jealous of the refrigerator? You're meant to cool down the food once it's cooked. You're meant to heat it up. You're both an appliance. You just have a different purpose. And so I encourage women to authentically figure out who they are. So I couldn't love properly, Crystal, because there was too much jealousy there on my part. Your confidence was a direct reflection of the confidence I did not have. Your marriage, let's say I was at 5 years and me and my husband struggled a bit our first 5 years, some arguments, and trying to become one was more difficult than we thought it would be. The person who's married 20 and 30 years and smiling and kissing, and that's fake. That ain't real. They argue, and they really could have had an amazing marriage, but because I was going through what I was going through, I let that deflect on the other person. And so when we become healed, when we become whole in God, when we become confident, when we become secure in the one who gave us the gifts, who called us to purpose, you now become a blessing. You now become meat to the body that people can chew on, like you said, and not get sick. Because too many people, I'll say this, Crystal, if that's all right, too many people are giving their lives to Christ, and within a few little years, coming out to be ready to be eaten by the masses, and people are biting on them and they're finding out that they're rare. You know, it takes some time to develop in God. And for those of us who are a bit seasoned, we ought to take a bit more of a humble, seasoned approach when we come across people who are not done, and really gently let them know that they're not done. You just can't tell a person, hey, you need to sit down and not use your gift. In 2024, people are not feeling that. You can't tell a person to sit down. Remember, the forefathers could just tell you to sit yourself down somewhere.
Right.
Forefathers could just tell you, honey, child, that dress is too tight. You need to sit
Hello,
down.
Somebody.
The forefathers, you know, those that are older in the faith, they used to just be able to tell us something. We received
right.
it from
when it's different times.
We're in a different time. We are in a different time. And so I don't come that any kind of way to anybody. With love and kindness have I drawn you. So I don't care what you're wearing. I don't care how loud or not loud your makeup is. I don't care about all of that. I want to get to the heart of the matter. So yeah. I'm like, hey, honey, I would love to have some lunch with you. And while we're having some lunch, maybe we'll go a little shopping and I'll buy you a little outfit. Maybe I'll teach you what a virtuous, godly woman looks like instead of condemning and rebuking you for what you're doing. Because maybe you just don't know.
That's
you
it.
Know, really taking a different approach. But yeah, there was definitely a difference.
I love all that you just said, especially where you said they could be a little not done yet. You're taking a bite and they're not cooked all the way through. Wow. And then I love what you said, where the fridge and then you have the stove, all different functions. Everybody's at some other place in their life. And we are looking at the external. I talked about that yesterday too. We look at the external, but sometimes people are going through on the internal, even if sometimes they're dressing up and they look like they have it all together. The life could be all together, but sometimes they're still going through on the inside. And so, like Sharina said, we have to come from a place of, you know, of love, you know, and then come from a place of, we don't know what they went through. Like Sharina, she went through all of that. Nobody knows, you know, the glory behind her story. Nobody knows what she went through to get to the woman she is. So when she is on the stages, when she is speaking and on flies and all these different things God is going to do in her life, and people could be, you know, jealous at that point, but they don't know what she had to go through. They didn't know she was trying to, you know, try to commit suicide at one point in her life. They didn't know she was in foster care. They didn't know, you know, all the things that had happened to her and now where God has brought her to. And so Facebook, if you're listening, just take it all in. I'm so excited that you were on tonight, Sharina. And I just wanted you to give a few more words of just a word of encouragement before you go, before we go, a word of encouragement, one more word of encouragement. And then also share with us your social media pages and where people can follow you.
Yes. So one word of encouragement. I pray that God will lead my heart right now as to what to say so that it can be impactful to you. My word of encouragement would be, to really find out what you're working with, because you are like awesome. Like you are dynamite. Like there's none like you. The fingerprint in and of itself tells you that you've been uniquely, you've been fearfully, and you've been wonderfully made. You are a gem and a jewel in God's eyes.
Yeah.
You are fabulous, simply fabulous. There is no competition. You know why? Because who are you competing against?
That's right.
The way that he's called you to speak, no one else speaks like you. The way that I do real estate, no one else does it like me. There's only been one of you created. So whatever naturally your natural job or career or business, as well as the spiritual calling that is on your life, no one can or ever will do it like you. So sometimes God calls you to something and you say, God, I can't do it because everyone else is doing it. I can't open the daycare because there's five daycares in the area. I can't do the nonprofit because everyone is doing it. No. Because the way that you're going to do it and execute it is going to be drastically different. I don't care if you had a twin sister, she's going to do it completely different than the way that you would. So walk in your authenticity. The Father didn't make a mistake. You are not a duplicate. You are not a knockoff, but you are an original. And I want you to walk in your originality by understanding that God created you unique. There's none like you. Walk it out, girl. You got this. You got
Amen. I love that. You are an original.
An original.
Amen. Now tell us where we can follow you on Facebook, Instagram, all social media platforms.
Yes. So I'm Sharina George on Instagram, you guys, right here on Facebook as well. If you guys desire to follow my business page, I'm Sharina George _ Realtor on TikTok, as well as Instagram. And then I also have LinkedIn, Sharina George _ Realtor, as well as Yelp. I've just added that page. And here on Facebook, Sharina George _Realtor. So I'd love for you guys to follow me professionally as well as personally.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sharina, on tonight's broadcast. We are so thankful that you tune in with us as well, Facebook. We are so excited about what God is doing about Sharina's testimony. It was powerful. And please go and follow her Facebook, follow her Instagram, Sharina George. You can find her on Facebook. She said all the ways you can find her, buy her books. If she has a website, I'm not sure if she does, but find her, research her, book her and be back with us next month. We are going to be going live and having more podcasts next month. Just tune on into the Gems with Dreams page and on my page, Prophetess Crystal Lynch, or Crystal Lynch page. Also, if you would love just to sow into what we just did tonight, we would love for you to Cash App us money sign Dream Alive 5. If you would like to sow into this ministry, which our umbrella ministry is Dream Alive Church. This is our women's ministry, Gems with Dreams. And this podcast is something that God had put in my heart to do, to showcase what God is doing in the lives of women, in the professional lives, professional women and women in ministry, women in business, women of all walks of life. Thank you guys so much for tuning in on tonight, and God bless.